The Fan on Demand.
Analysis and opinion so honest, it's just a matter of time before they get themselves in trouble. Baseball Central with Jeff Blair and Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is May 2nd, and this is Baseball Central. Jeff Blair alongside Dirk Hayhurst. Twitter handle is at the Garfoose. That's for him. Mine is at GloBlair. GloBlair. I don't have to spell Garfoose for people. Everybody knows that.
Yes. I'm sure they do. You love the Blue Jays, especially Mark Burley. Do you not? Do you not, Jeff Blair?
10-1. I'll throw it out there. I don't think the guy can pitch in the AL East anymore. I don't think he can pitch in this ballpark. Every fly ball looks to me like it's got a chance of leaving the park here. And they had shots of him last night during the game on Sportsnet. He's sitting in the dugout. Esmil Rogers is in the process of giving it up. And there was this. And there was this. And there was hat over him. He looked to me like a guy who's saying, sweet Jesus, get me the hell out of Canada.
You know, it is difficult for people listening to the radio to understand what there is this means.
They got, I know we're on Sportsnet.
Face
covering, and then head back, cap pulled down overhead.
Do not turn into one of those fans, Jeff Blair. You are better than that.
I am certainly not better than that.
Yes.
Never give me too much credit for anything, Dirk Hayhurst. Never do that. You are bound to be disappointed if you do that.
You are going to be one of those guys that looks into the dugout and sees body language after a bad outing and says, this guy doesn't want to be here. He's got no passion. Look at him. I never said he didn't have passion. What are you implying, though? I mean, think about what you're implying when you say that.
I am implying that this guy made a conscious decision a couple of years ago to go pitch in the National League. His options, I mean, as far as we know, the two places he considered were St. Louis and Florida. He goes to Florida. I guarantee you, at no point last year did Mark Burley think, I wish I was in the America League East facing the Yankees and Red Sox, where I have a, you know, lifetime ERA over 6 and pitching in those ballparks and pitching in Toronto. I guarantee you, at no point did he think of that.
And I miss my dog.
Never mind the dogs.
But, okay, all right, so he pitches bad. I grant you that. But now you are just throwing out the window that he has any competitive professionalism.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm saying I just don't think.
When you say I don't think he wants to be here.
I think he's smart not wanting to be here because I don't think he's good enough to pitch in this division. I think he knows that. That's not a drawback against him. That's a guy who's got a long career with a long track record sitting down and saying, all right, better for me to be here than here. It doesn't make him a bad person. It doesn't make him a quitter. He's doing what he can do. The problem is he knows it's not good enough to do it in the American League East.
Well, you know what?
I mean, those numbers are ugly, Dirk.
I am going to, for this, this is rare. I am going to agree with you. I don't think he can handle it here.
Let's start the show over. Start it over. Get the music going again.
Get the Pirates of the Caribbean theme song back on here.
Here we go. I think we got it. There you go. Welcome to Baseball Central for Thursday, May 2nd. Jeff Blair and Dirk Hayhurst. The Blue Jays 14-2 winners over the Boston Red Sox. Just kidding. Go ahead.
I agree with you. I don't think that Mark Burley has got what it takes to get the job done in the AL East. Not anymore.
No.
Not anymore. I mean, this is, look, you saw a guy last night who went out there and he does what he always does.
Yep.
He just wheels and deals. He works a very fast tempo. He mixes the ball in. But the problem is that with this division, in these parks, with these hitters and these payrolls, the ball will leave the yard if you make a mistake. There is just such a higher propensity for a home run, and that is what he's been getting killed on. I mean, it's like 9 home runs so far and only 35 innings. He's on pace to break his home run allowance record from all the other seasons that he's had so far. It is going to be a real dogfight. No pun intended there at all for him to get out of this season without basically just taking his career and tarnishing it severely. It's going to be a rough season for Mark Burley. And I like Mark Burley. I think he's a consummate professional.
He's a terrific professional.
He is. He's a veteran presence. But the Blue Jays need him to pitch better, period. Yeah. And he may not be able to.
Could you get something for him if you're the Blue Jays? I would think he'd be the perfect guy. If I'm looking at
his contract.
Yeah. You might have to pick up some coin to do it.
A lot of coin. And it's heavily backloaded.
Yes, it is. Because the season's over. And I think the Jays are at the point now where they've got
to make some surgical moves. Did you just say the season is over?
Yeah.
What?
Got no chance of making the playoffs.
Wait a minute. I'm kidding.
It's not over. Mathematically, it looks bad. But what I am saying is, I think, you know, and people say, well, when you talk about trading, you're talking about backing up the truck and shipping everybody out. No, I'm saying, you know what? You look at this team and say, hey, we've got issues here and here. We got this in the minor league system. We got nothing at second base. We got squat at second base, especially now that we don't appear to be interested in moving Brett Lloyd.
Jose Reyes.
Right. So we got to make a deal to get, you know, to fill that position at second base. We also don't have a left-handed hitter with authority. We've got it. We've got some stuff we have to address. And if we have to put Mark Burley in a package to get it done, then we do it.
Yeah, but if you put Mark Burley in a package, that's going to be a package where you're eating a lot of that payroll to send him off.
If I can get a player, if I can get a guy who makes me better, I'll eat that payroll. Absolutely, I'll eat that payroll.
Are you going to try and trade him for a Chase Utley?
That name keeps coming up.
Then he goes to the National League.
That name keeps coming up. I don't know enough about Utley's health. I may be getting a guy with, if I've got a guy with a chronic hip issue and I'm sticking him on artificial turf, the answer's no. And look, I don't pretend to know who the hell you trade for, but I'm just saying that I think there have to be some, if you're the Jays, you have to be at the point where you're looking at that at least, and where you're thinking of, all right, let's make a move that can make us better. Not a panic move, but a move that can make us better. I mean, Dirk, we can sit here and list what the flaws of this team are.
Oh, yeah. It's really easy right now.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so easy. Everybody has the answer now.
Well,
I mean, it was just 2 weeks ago. We had to fire all the management in every single capacity that we could fire.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? You look at statistically, you look at where this team is weak. You pretty much have an idea what this team needs.
No, we do. I think we have a sample size big enough now to at least start diagnosing where we have needs. Here's somebody I want to bring up last
year. Sure.
Kind of flying under the radar. And I know you had talked about how you actually enjoy watching him pitch.
Yeah.
I don't. Esmil Rogers.
Why not?
Because he's a two-pitch guy. And I said it over and over again on the broadcast last night. Here is a guy who has two pitches. Hard fastball, hard slider. That's it. There's no soft pitch to work.
You can't get by with that, can you?
You can't. Well, I mean, it looks good in small samples because if you're out there and you're on, high caliber, those are both strikeout pitches. But the thing that the Red Sox do and advanced hitters do is they eliminate pitches that if you aren't. Okay, if a pitcher comes out of the pen, Jeff, and he is just locked in, on fire, hitting every spot. You tip your hat. You're out.
Mm-hmm.
You know it. At 95, if you're painting the black, you should beat everyone you face. Buchholz did it last night. But Esmil Rogers comes out, and he's got a little bit of control issue, and he only has a two-pitch repertoire. So he comes out, can't find the zone with a fastball, slider gets a little flat, and he's very hittable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that he necessarily has what it takes to be I guess the flexibility option is not there. So I'm wondering if that's going to work out. Then poor Justin Germano gets the mop-up job. Just throw him out there. We got some spilled innings, kid, here. Make yourself, you know, useful.
Let me ask you this, Dirk. I'm sure that Mark Burley was aware of the pit bull laws in Ontario when he came here. I mean, it was well-documented. It was a big story.
I don't think he was aware of it till after he got traded. I'm not sure it's
after he was traded.
He was advocating against it.
No, but he... Do you think he knew that there's a law in Ontario that prevents the Blue Jays from playing smart baseball? Did anybody tell him that?
I don't know.
What the hell was Melky Cabrera doing? You know what I might have done? I might have taken him out of the game. If I'm the manager, I might have said, well, it was what? It was the eighth inning. What are you going to do?
That was ludicrously
stupid.
It was bad, but I understand what Melky was.
No, you don't. I, no, I, you I, don't.
I... I kind of do.
Wilner said there's 90 feet between bases. He was about 130 feet up.
Yes, I was there for when Wilner said that.
That
and
was
I was here
good.
When he said it again because he was so impressed by that line. He wrote it down. I'm gonna get as much mileage out of that as I can, says Mike
Wilner.
It
was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah, well, look, it's a ball game where it's a blowout. You're trying to get something going. Okay, never mind. It's just that just all broke down in my head. What are you trying to get going with a 9-run deficit? By taking one extra base. If you want to get something going, get on base, stay there, don't do anything dumb. Let stuff start to add up for you. And by that point in time, with Mortensen coming in for the Red Sox, you had John Farrell was doing the same thing that John Gibbons was doing. Here's guys that I don't trust in leverage situations. Go mop this up. Hey, we got the lead.
Game
just,
over.
You know, yes. Wave hi to your family if you strike somebody out because you're not going to be out there very often. Sorry. So it was a chance for guys to bring their ERA down, and Melky Cabrera did a lackluster pitcher a favor.
So a couple of nights ago, the first game of the series, I'm at the Rogers Center press box. I'm writing. I get an email from a guy, a regular emailer. Guy used to play baseball, college baseball, says to me, hey, take a look at Junichi Tozawa. He keeps touching his arm, the inside of his wrist, before he throws. And yeah, this guy must be loading up. So I kind of look at it, and I go, damn. Clay Buchholz last night, a couple of times.
Man, I'm gonna catch hell for this. I am totally going to catch. I'm just gonna go right out there and say it.
Is he loading?
Cheating.
He is.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I saw a film of him, and this is the so hard for me to say this because the people that I saw the film from we don't want to be involved with this. We don't throw us under the bus, right?
What do you like the
it was like deep throat. Yeah, we met in the parking lot of the Rogers Center, and they showed me on a little laptop.
Star chamber, star council, or whatever.
Yeah, it was crazy.
But it was noticeable in TV a couple times. He goes to the mouth, and he's...
No, it wasn't even to the mouth. It was right to the forearm, and he turns the forearm over, and I'm thinking, you know, what does he have, some sunscreen and some rosin? You know, every pitcher does the sunscreen and rosin, or a little tack, you know, or whatever. Every pitcher does it.
Yeah.
I will stand by that. 100% of pitchers in baseball have some kind of foreign substance. But this was like Ed Harris type stuff. It was like we just put the Crisco right up the side of the arm, and you could see it there. And to me, it looked like that Skin Lube Kramer Jizik type cream that every training room has.
Yeah,
they come in like different strengths of heat.
Yeah,
you know, and you can just say to the umpire, "Oh, it's icy hot." That's what it is. But I mean, it looked like it was applied with a trowel knife, for God's sakes. I mean, it was, you could see it there, and it had discolored his arm, and it had blended into his shirt sleeve. It was that much of it. And he went, and it was the two fingers right to it, wipe across, and that's the dead giveaway. I mean, if he's just moving his shirt sleeve up, which is what a real good cheater would do.
Yeah.
But it was two fingers down, wipe the paint, and then go to the mouth and act like it was all part of your routine, then try and blend it in or touch the hair or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if it was Crisco on the arm, Bardol.
His hair has got a lot. His hair
is just still at the belt line.
What?
Any one of them will give 2 to 3 inches to your curveball, Jeff. You know that.
Huh? Vagisil gives 2 or 3 inches, an extra 2 or 3 inches for Vagisil? Oh, to the curveball.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Here we go.
All right, we're going to get in trouble.
You're going to get in trouble.
No.
You went there.
Yeah, I did go there. Well, you were the one, the extra 2 or 3 inches was just kind of begging to be hit out, but I think I may have fouled it off. We got to take a look at some of the stuff that happened around Major League Baseball yesterday. The Cubs, do you think they're going to leave Wrigley Field?
No, they're going to renovate it.
Yeah, Tom Ricketts says, if you don't give us our nice big scoreboard, we're going to leave. I don't believe it. We'll take a look around Major League Baseball. Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports is going to join us. You think the Jays suck? How about those Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? This is Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 1.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Dirk Hayhurst. That is at the Garfoose and at Globe Blair on Twitter. Still trying to recover from the whole Vagisil thing. We talked, that was previous discussion about loading up, though. I just find it interesting stuff. Anyhow. So Curtis Granderson getting close to returning to the New York Yankees. Granderson, of course, you remember, hit on the hand by tonight's Jay's.
Assassinated, if you're a Yankees fan. Oh, he was assassinated
by Jay Happ.
By Jay Happ.
In spring training, Jay Happ on the mound tonight for the Jays. But, you know, the Yankees have done yeoman work in the absence of guys like Curtis Granderson. And I wanted to ask you this, Dirk. I mean, obviously, Curtis Granderson comes back. If you're the Yankees, you're going to welcome him with open arms. This is a guy who's a free agent next year. The team's been playing really well. Got a bit of a mojo happening in New York right now, more than a lot of us thought be the case. I'm not saying it could be a bad clubhouse influence or anything like that, but if you're Joe Girardi, how do you approach this?
How do you approach what?
Getting Granderson back.
Do you put him back in the lineup?
I'll rephrase it. The team has played so well. Does that buy you extra time with Curtis Granderson? Does it, you know, I think a lot of people thought when these guys were hurt, they're going to be rushed. I think the Yankees saw what happened when he rushed Derek Jeter. I'm wondering if maybe they won't be a little more.
I'm not so much worried about the Yankees rushing Curtis Granderson as Curtis Granderson rushing Curtis Granderson. Okay. Because Curtis Granderson is looking at a contract year.
Right.
And he's said it before. He's been very public. If I don't get back soon, it's money. I mean, there's a pressure for me to get back. Look,
yep.
I mean, you know, his track record speaks for itself. His last two seasons, he's hit over 40 home runs. He's probably going to come back and hit over 30 when he's healthy again. He's a power outfielder. And he's a speedy power outfielder, and there's a market for this guy. He's not that old at 31. He's going to be 32 next year. So, you know, he's looking at a contract, probably I'd say a 4 to 5 year contract for a guy with that kind of power and ability. And he wants to get back so he can make the most of it.
And I guess it's different with a hand injury, too, than a
Yeah, and that's
than,
the scare a, factor. Because you want to come back. If it's a hamstring, you come back, you show that you can run. End of story. But if it's a hand injury, and we had this concern with Jose Bautista, we've had it with other players in the past. The hand is so integral to the stroke when you swing that if it's not 100%, it affects your performance, and then that's when you have the major question mark. So it's not so much that he needs to come back. It's that he has to come back and show that he can still hit and there's no problems with his hand. Because that's scary to would-be future employers who are willing to open up the bank book for Curtis Granderson, even for the Yankees, who now, if you want to talk about not being rushed, no, they're not being rushed. They've suddenly found production from places they didn't think they would find it. Granted, it's a very small sample size for some of that production, but nonetheless, it gives them options. And if they really are serious, which I don't think they are at all because they're the Yankees and they're evil, but if they were serious about keeping the payroll down, this would be an opportunity.
Charlie Manuel had an interesting little item talking to the Phillies writers yesterday. He is of the impression that Jim Thome still has the itch to play. Designated hitter Jim Thome still has the itch to play. Would you take a chance on Jim Thome if you were a major league team?
Do you itch or rash at this point? Because one is, you know, I really want to come back and play. And the other is, Jimmer don't have nothing else to do for himself, so he want to go play more baseball, you know, because that's what Jimmer knows. This is a tough situation because, okay, granted, he's 42 this year, right? And he's still a very good pinch hitter, a very good pinch power hitter. But if you're the Phillies, do you want to bring him back? I mean, you got so many problems. Is Jim Thome really an answer for you? Is it a publicity? He's already got a statue of himself made. It was up and then taken down for the Indians. Am I wrong on that? When you have statues of yourself because you're supposed to be retired, talk to a counselor. Maybe I don't know. I respect the fact that he still wants to play. I still think that he could in limited samples. But again, you're talking about very limited samples, and so I think he could be effective. I don't know how much money he wants. I don't even know if it's about the money for him anymore. But maybe he can go play for the Sugar Land Skeeters or something and have a great time, and he can drink beer while he's playing. Not that some players don't do that, Johnny Damon. But I'm just saying there's other options. And if I don't want to see the Phillies turned into like the Astros, where it's a kind of, you know, we're bringing back names, gimmick names, because we're out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Phillies, more than anything else, are a team that needs to realize the window of opportunity is closed. You got to get younger.
You do.
You got to get younger.
And they really need to focus on, but I will say that it's an opportunity for them to maybe bring in some kind of production, some kind of veteran presence, and then focus on retooling the minor leagues. You know, especially with Halliday scuffling as bad as he has been, you've got to start thinking younger at this point. You've got to get some production, and you've got to get controllable production that's not going to – you have to replenish the system.
Speaking of the Phillies, Chase Utley, the Philadelphia Phillies, anytime you mention on Twitter or you mention on the radio that the Jays need to get a second baseman, people – guarantee you, one of five people will say, well, why don't you try to put together a trade for Chase Utley? They've got to deal with him. They've got a contractual situation happening there. I don't know, though, Dirk. I mean, I see Chase Utley being, if I am the Phillies, he's a guy I might want to re-sign if I'm the Phillies.
Really?
Yeah, I think he's the, first of all, put the Blue Jays thing aside. I don't want him in artificial turf with his hip issues. If I'm the Phillies, I might want to hang on to him. He might be one of the guys I keep. Now, I know that I'm stuck with Ryan Howard. I've got a lot of bad contracts already. But I might want to hang on to Chase Utley. What do you think of Chase Utley as a guy?
Keep him.
Keep him.
Phillies. You know who I want? If I'm going to get a Chase, I want Chase Headley. Send me Chase Headley. I will take him. I will trade you Brett Laurie for Chase Headley right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that distant rumbling was the collective heads of Canada exploding that I just said.
Chase Headley's awfully good.
He is really good. And he can play infield, and he can play outfield, and he can switch hit for power. I mean, I think that if you were gonna get somebody, he's going to have to get paid, though. He's looking at about 5-6 years, $90 million in the future. But that's... I would trade Mark Burley to San Diego, and he would love it there. Love it there. It's a retirement. It's
the greatest ballpark ever, too, for pitching.
And it's fantastic. Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's the best. You can throw the turnaround. It's gorgeous.
You can throw frisbees to the dog on the beach. You know, I mean, it's just wonderful. He would be happy there, and I would make a trade. I would go for Chase Headley.
One of the best stories in baseball, Evan Gattis, Braves rookie catcher. A guy who was a highly touted prospect, played on a great travel team. He had guys like Austin Jackson, I mean, Clayton Kershaw is his teammate. One scout says he's the strongest person he's ever seen. He's a guy who, if you follow the backstory, got involved with alcohol and marijuana. Essentially fell off the face of the baseball planet for a while. He's had a bunch of jobs. He was a janitor. He was a golf cart attendant. Worked at a pizza place. He's, at the age of 26, one of the front runners for National League Rookie of the Year. But Brian McCann is about to come back. Brian McCann is...
the real deal.
The real deal. One of the guys in Atlanta. This guy's uniform is one of the top-selling uniforms in the Braves clubhouse.
Evan Gattis.
But Dirk, you know, when you look at this guy's story, at one point this guy was so down and out that he was thinking about suicide.
Yeah, the title of the article is "All I Could Think About Was Killing Myself."
Right.
It's not fun to start off that way, but
it's a hell of a story.
It is, and it's a remarkable story. And if you don't know who Evan Gattis is,
his numbers are outrageous.
I'm sad we haven't talked about it earlier on, but we had another subject very similar to it to talk about depression in baseball, and you know, this young man was really one of the best prospects in baseball. Finds himself down and out, gets released, and just talk about the cycle of athletes when they experience something like the death of their career, or at least the perceived end of their career, and what it does to them when most of their life has been built on this platform of kind of identifying who they are through the sport, right? So how they see themselves. And he says it, and it's wonderful to hear it said, because I feel like more athletes deal with this than let on. But he was terrified of being a failure. What is that? I mean, this has been the topic of two of my books. I think it's the core of most athlete motivation, is that what happens to you when you fail? Who are you then? You do not know who you are. You've only ever known who you are through the sport you play. And he has to go and find himself. And he spent time working as a car valet, working as a ski lift operator, working as a pizza cook, as a housekeeper,
As a janitor.
I mean, a golf cart attendant. You know, here's a guy that should have been well-paid, one of the best athletes in the game, and he finds himself on the bottom rung here. And not only that, but alcohol, anger, marijuana addiction. You know, and I think this
family issues as well.
Tons of family issues. But I think this is one of the best lines, and this is actually, you know, this resonated with me because my fourth book, which will come out next year, and that is a shameless plug, but I talked about how baseball distracts you from you.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you can be out there playing and you have people telling you you're awesome and you're doing your job, you don't have to deal with any of your crap. It'll cover it up. You put the jersey on and it's like a rug. Just sweeps all the drama underneath it. You live for the moment and people worship you. And when that stops and the uniform comes off, that's when you have to see yourself for who you really are. And it can be very difficult because it's like it adds up to the point that you've never had to confront it before, and when you do, it'll crush you. And it's not masculine to deal with things like anxiety or depression.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, you know, sports people do not like that. They don't want to be seen as that. In fact, they've turned that part of their body off almost to deal with that, which is very normal, and everybody else learns to deal with over time. The athlete pushes it away in the name of production, and when he has to face it again, it's crushing. So, you know, great for him. I hope this story gets more coverage. He's had a tremendous run. The name again is Evan Gattis. Wonderful, inspirational tale. If you get some time, look it up on your own.
And as I said, I don't know if the Braves have a decision to make. They'll keep both of these guys. They absolutely have
sure.
to keep him. I mean, they're not going to let not with this guy start, not with this guy's numbers. They're not going to let him go. And Brian McCann obviously has to play. He's one of the premier offensive catchers in baseball. But yeah, Dirk's right. It's a terrific story, Evan Gattis. If you get a chance to Google it, check it out. It's really remarkable. And it's, you know, and you see it in a lot of sports, but it seems to me in baseball, people, just because of the number of guys playing baseball, the chances of that happening
mm-hmm.
are just so much greater because there's so many people playing. Mm-hmm. There's so many guys lining up for your job, you know. But it is a terrific story. Very quickly as well, Tom Ricketts, to get a little less serious in that regard. Tom Ricketts, the owner of the Chicago Cubs, is threatening to leave Wrigley Field because unless he gets a renovation allowance that allows him to put up this huge, monstrous video board.
Keep the video board. Give me a path to the dugout that doesn't require a lamp helmet.
Or a distance.
You know.
Or a hazmat suit.
Right. Armed guards protect me from going through the concourse, you know. Give me that. I don't need moss that grows in the dark in the tunnel to the dugout. Thank you. Renovate that. Keep the garish scoreboard. I'll be okay without it.
I like the old style scoreboard they have, man.
I do too. What's wrong with that?
You know, you don't.
So many other things to fix. Just, please.
All these people, though, Dirk, they're sitting there saying, but Wrigley Field is, it's like it's quaint. It's nirvana. I go, no, it's old and it stinks.
It's antiquated. And it needs either put down or totally overhauled.
Yeah. It's a little bit like Fenway Park. There's these
mystery
puddles of water everywhere. Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports is their national baseball writer. Obviously, we spent a lot of time, probably too much time, hammering on the Blue Jays for their slow start. Guess what? Remember the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim? Remember how they were going to be the best team in baseball a couple of years ago? Great manager, Albert Pujols. Everything was going well. They stink almost as much as the Blue Jays.
Well, they lost Vernon Wells.
And they lost Vernon Wells. There you go, the missing ingredient. Tim Brown will join us, and we'll make you feel better. The Jays, they're not the only team in baseball having issues right now. This is Baseball Central and Sportsnet 1, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Cooler than Math Club and almost as cool as Chess Club. The Fan Club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Now, back to more Baseball Central on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to Baseball Central. Jeff Blair and Dirk Hayhurst on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Dirk, I've got a quiz for you here. What do the Dodgers, Angels, Jays, and Washington Nationals have in common?
I believe it has to do with the win-loss record. Am I right?
Yes. None of those teams has a record over 500. The Nats are at 500. So for Jays fans out there who think that this is the only team that's fallen off the face of the baseball planet, in fact, the Dodgers and Angels have had their issues. The Nationals as well, although I think in a lot of instances, a lot of the problems with the Nationals are health issues. Tim Brown is a national baseball writer for Yahoo Sports. He joins us on Baseball Central. He has an article up in the Yahoo Sports website talking about this very topic. Tim, thanks for joining us. A very difficult, a very cruel April, as you call it, for four teams that, well, were pretty much the trendiest teams in the game coming out of spring training.
Yeah, and, well, I thought the trivia answer was going to be they all disappointed Tim Brown. Yeah, these were, you know, these were teams, and to me it speaks to how fragile particularly the early part of a baseball season can be. And I think a lot of these teams had some injuries that lead to sort of this very difficult April. And now particularly the Jays and the Angels have a lot of work to do just to catch up. You know, the rest of the division is going to have to be kind of kind to them, certainly over the next few months, for them to get back in the game. And remember, you know, one of the reasons we really loved the Jays was because the rest of the division seemed to have gone a little lukewarm on them. And so the timing was perfect for the Jays to come back and at least be, you know, competitive again. And, you know, it certainly doesn't seem to be playing that way so far. They're in the division with, you know, the team that had the best April in baseball.
Mm. Okay, so we understand that the Angels have a higher payroll, but they're in a stronger division, but they have weaker starting pitching, but the Blue Jays have more stars, but they're in a weaker division. There's a lot of ifs here. So bottom line, Jays or Angels, or possibly Dodgers, who has disappointed Tim Brown the most?
You know, I'm going to say the Angels. I think it perhaps because I see so much of them, and, you know, the notion that you can roll into May and Josh Hamilton hitting 214, Albert Pujols hitting 245, Mike Trout is just not yet the same guy he was last year, and it's just it's a very slight thing, but he just on the base paths, in the outfield, at the plate, he just hasn't gotten back to that. Maybe there's this sophomore-y thing going on there.
But Tim, if I may, How is it possible for Mike Trout to possibly reproduce what he did last year? I mean, there was like Mike Trout and then every other baseball player. He was God last year.
Right. I agree. And I don't think anyone, well, at least I don't think any rational person was expecting that same season. I'm talking about if you just leave the numbers out, there's just something about the way he's going about his at-bats, the way he's playing the outfield, the way he's running the bases that just doesn't look quite the same. And I don't know if he's just a little, for whatever reason, off his game. I can't even begin to guess why, but he just looks like, you know, it's just a slightly different guy. Forget the numbers. And he had a little bit of a better day yesterday, but I can't put my finger on it. But it's just the way he's going about it just doesn't look the same.
Okay, speaking of different guys, and again, we're joined with Tim Brown, the National Baseball beat writer for Yahoo. Josh Hamilton, who is this man that you have brought in? Because he does not look like the Josh Hamilton of yore.
Well, it appears to me, and I'm not a scout, but it appears to me that the sole criteria for Josh to swing a pitch is for the pitcher to let go of the baseball.
He'd fit in here.
I just think he's in one of those modes where he's guessing. He's guessing on every pitch. He's swinging at every pitch. And pitchers know this. I don't think there's anyone in the game. There's numbers out there somewhere. Who has swung at more pitches out of the zone than Josh Hamilton over the first month. And we all know that Josh gets into these little funks. You know, for a period last summer, I think he hit a buck 80 or something. and he's in one of them. Mm. And it's killing him because they obviously, look, the pitching staff has been so terrible. The starting rotation's been bad, banged up, no Jared Weaver. The bullpen really was counting on Ryan Madsen on the back end there and settling things down. The arms are fine, but they don't have a true closer without Madsen. And so they're going to have to bang their way through April a little bit, as it turned out, and through parts of May. And, you know, with Josh going the way he's going, Albert Pujols has the foot thing. The top of the order now has changed with Trout being sort of average and Peter Borges having blown his hamstring the other night. This whole thing, it looks, and I think the Jays and the Angels have looked very similar. Everything looks so difficult right now. You know, all parts of the game, it just looks hard. Just winning a game just seems like it's this epic process. And, I don't know how you pull out of it quickly. I think you try to get healthy and see if that works.
I mean, Tim, I guess the first thing I would say is that at least they being the Angels, have Houston in their division. So, yeah, I mean, if you have to make up ground quickly, there's always a 3 or 4 game series against the Astros.
Yeah, that's true. Although, you know, about 3 weeks ago, the Astros played them really tough.
Yes, they
did. The Angels were lucky to come out of there with a couple wins. They do have the Astros in Houston coming up next week. After a 4-gamer against the Orioles this weekend. So, it's a funny thing about the Astros. They have this very sort of average offense. It's not nearly as terrible as we thought they would, but just anecdotally, it seems like they scored no runs for 5 days, then throw up a 13 spot, and then start that process over again.
We're joined by Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports. There were a few reports about 2 weeks ago that Mike Socha's job may be in jeopardy with the Angels. You know Soch really well, Tim. Do you see that happening?
You know, here's the hard part about that, Jeff, is Artie Moreno has become a bit of a wild card. We're not really sure what he's thinking day to day. We know that Socha has a contract through 2018 at about $5 million per. Is already willing to eat that sort of money. It's a tough. I don't think they fire him. I really mm-hmm. don't. But, you just don't know. Artie could roll out of bed one morning and say, this is a disaster. Pitching coach goes, the manager goes, let's see what else we can do. Because this was a team that for years we all sort of viewed as being an overachieving kind of organization. The numbers of wins at the end of the year always seemed to add up to more than the talent on the field. And it was just about the way they went about their business. Now, for going on 3+ years, this is an underachieving organization, and I don't know if it's because Mike Socha is much better taking sort of a bunch of those gritty guys and turning them into something, or for some reason the parts don't fit, or just it's injuries or something, or it's the depth of the division. They did win 89 games last year. It wasn't a terrible team. But these are the standards of the Angels and what they've developed over a decade, and they're just consistently not getting to that.
It's funny, Tim, because I think for a lot of us, we thought that when we looked at the Dodgers' new ownership, some of the moves the Dodgers made, the Angels, I mean, I was sitting there thinking this is going to be a sprint between the Angels and Dodgers for the soul of L.A., and it's going to be great, and it's going to be the baseball capital of North America, and it's not really the case right now. Who do you think has a better shot? If those two teams, if we operate under the assumption there's a race there to kind of, regain the baseball soul, if you want to call it that, of that area, who wins that race? The Dodgers?
You know, I think it's always sort of a Dodger town.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes so far back here. And I think because of the fact that the Dodgers, I think, are going to be able to pitch. The Kershaw, Rue has looked really good. You get Greinke back. I believe that team is going to pitch ultimately. And I'm not so sure about the Angels. Beyond Weaver, whenever Weaver gets back, I think they overestimated C.J. Wilson as a number two. And, the rest of it looks sort of, they hit a lot of bats here, Jeff.
I got to ask one last question. And this is about the Dodgers and about basically their brand. Do you think, in your professional opinion as a beat writer, that the appearance of Psy, the artist that did Gangnam Style. Do you feel that, I mean, it looked like Tommy Lasorda was woken from a nap at the old folks' home. He was just so disgusted when that showed up. Do you think it's damaged them, or do you think they're going to be able to bounce back from that?
That's a great question. I think Tommy looks at that thing like most of us look at some terrible thing on the side of the road. you just can't get your head around it. You're like, what the heck? How could that have happened? How is that car on its roof? And where'd the ostrich come in with all this? Yeah, Tommy's a beauty. Tommy's a beauty. I was thinking about, all he saw in his day when the best thing to happen at Dodger Stadium off the field was, Frank Sinatra coming in.
Yeah, exactly.
And now it's Psy.
The times they have changed.
Yes.
Tim, thanks so much for doing this as always. Be well.
Enjoy it, fellas. See you soon.
Take care. That is Tim Brown of Yahoo Sports. I can safely say the best surfer of any member of the Baseball Writers Association of America.
The best surfer.
Surfer.
Wow.
Like serious. We're talking serious. Well, the 23rd, go around the world surf. I've known Tim for years.
The 2013 Blair Awards, he will get the surfer.
He would get the best surfer.
But there are a few nice, just surprise show ups. Mike Trumbo. Everyone knew he had the power. It's there this year. He's made some adjustments. 6 home runs, hitting 301, 531 slugging. They have the pieces, parts. They just need to put it together. And you know what? I know he said the Angels are more disappointing to him than the Jays. But, nah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I realize they have more payroll. But look at just the flock of all-stars that were brought in to this Jays club.
Well, not only that, I wasn't a big fan of C.J. Wilson 2 years ago as a number two pitcher. So I expected more from the Jays pitching.
He drives race cars, Jeff.
I know.
Hello.
Anyhow.
I thought you'd love that.
No.
Right up there with your whole German sports.
Yeah, but he doesn't drive F1 cars. He drives those fake stock car things, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah. He has pretty boy cars. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
The rich, yeah. Right after he's done with his thoroughbred horses and his yacht sailing.
Not a good number two starter. We appreciate Tim Brown joining us. There you are, folks. As bad as things are in Toronto, they're almost as bad in Los Angeles. And they got two teams to worry about. They got two teams
and
to worry about.
Psy.
And
Psy. Gangnam Style.
We don't have Psy to worry
about.
Craziness. Absolutely. That's it for Baseball Central today. This is Jeff Blair for the lovely and talented Dirk Hayhurst. We'll be back tomorrow. And Baseball Central returns on Sportsnet 1 and Sportsnet 590. The Fan, who knows? Maybe we'll have a win to talk about.
Maybe.
Maybe. See everybody.